Welcome to the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Monday, March 11th, 2019. I'm Mary Sherman. We are covering stories from around the globe, including Americans among those killed in an Ethiopian plane crash, President Trump expected to again ask for border wall funding, and former soldiers battle the White House over climate change. Our top story, 157 people from 35 different countries were killed after an Ethiopian Airlines jet faltered and crashed Sunday shortly after takeoff from the country's capital. The plane went down in clear weather, and there's no indication as to why. The crash was similar to that of a Lion Air jet that plunged into the sea off Indonesia minutes after takeoff last year, killing 189 people. Both accidents involved the Boeing 737 MAX 8, as well as more than a dozen UN workers. President Trump is reportedly planning to ask Congress today for an additional $8.6 billion in funding for construction of a wall on the U.S.-Mexican border. The request comes on the heels of a battle with Congress over wall funding that resulted in the five-week partial government shutdown. Democrats on Sunday said they will not approve the money. A national group of retired military leaders is pushing back against the recent appointment of a committee they say undermines the impact of climate change on national security. Antoinette Kerr has the story.
Retired Rear Admiral David Titley will testify before a congressional panel on Wednesday. He is one of 58 who penned a letter pushing back against what they say is the administration's attempt to downplay the impact of climate change. The review by the 12-member panel will be led by climate change critic William Happer. The administration's official position is that climate change is a threat to national security, but the group says the appointment of Happer to the National Security Council and a leaked document say otherwise.
The internal documents that were leaked show, in the administration's own words, that this so-called review is meant to be adversarial in nature and to undermine the well-established fundamental scientific underpinnings of climate science, which have been established for well over a century.
Titley provided training and recommendations for a U.S. Army tactical unit based in Fort Bragg, while others toured damage to Camp Lejeune caused by Florence last September.
The fallout of Trump's trade wars continues. As reported by Nathan Reineck, Kent State, Ohio News Connection, there's a lot of uncertainty for soybean farmers this planting season. Steel tariffs introduced by President Trump in March of 2018 were met with a 25% tariff from China on U.S. soybeans. Jack Irvin with the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation says now farmers are unable to sell much of their soybean crop, which is typically their largest export to China.
Just in our industry, that one commodity has cost farmers billions of dollars and lost income and revenue.
According to the USDA, soybean exports are down more than 90% under the trade dispute, and U.S. farmers lost nearly $8 billion in the past year. Steel production in the U.S. rose about 5% last year after tariffs on foreign steel were increased 25%. A technical glitch in Arizona's medical marijuana law is landing some card-carrying cannabis patients in jail, but a proposed new law could close that loophole.
Law enforcement officials in Yavapai County have arrested and convicted at least two people carrying state-issued medical marijuana cards on drug charges. Both were arrested for possessing a derivative of marijuana, not the plant itself, but still classified as cannabis. An appeal of one of the convictions is pending before the state Supreme Court. But Annalise Ortiz with the ACLU of Arizona says a bill pending in the state legislature would resolve the legal technicality.
Yavapai County Attorney Sheila Polk has continued to stand by these prosecutions, so people are still at risk of arrest and prosecution. This bill proposes amending that definition so that there is no distinction between marijuana and cannabis.
Ortiz says the prosecutor is interpreting the current law as allowing the medical use of marijuana in its plant form, but not products made from it, which are classified as illegal cannabis. She says Yavapai County, a mostly rural area between Phoenix and Flagstaff, is the only jurisdiction in the state that so far has prosecuted medical marijuana patients under felony narcotics laws.
That was Mark Richardson reporting. A Kansas doctor found liable for the opioid overdose death of a patient has been sentenced to life in prison. The case against 57-year-old Steve Henson, which also resulted in convictions on other charges, was part of a nationwide crackdown targeting doctors accused of overprescribing opioids. Prosecutors said 32-year-old Nick McGovern, who received prescriptions from Henson, died of an overdose of an anti-anxiety drug and methadone, which is used to wean addicts off heroin. Prosecutors said the doctor prescribed opioid medications in amounts likely to lead to addiction. In the wake of an anti-Muslim display at the state capitol, Muslims in West Virginia say a lot of scary myths are floating around about them. But they say they want people to know the often more boring reality.
Nasir Abdus Salam is the imam of the Islamic Association of West Virginia. He says the instinct might be to go online, but in this case, he specifically advises stay off the internet, just because there's so much bad stuff out there.
That might be impossible for today's people, today's generation. But that would be my first piece of advice, is to try to connect with real people.
He says most large cities have mosques, although he admits not all of them are led by native English speakers. A very high proportion of the state's Muslims came to West Virginia to practice medicine or another profession, such as engineering. Nationally, Muslims have one of the highest average education level of any religious group. Dan Hyman reporting.
Thanks for newsin' and cruising with us. I'm Mary Sherman for Public News Service. Member and listener supported and online at publicnewsservice.org.